Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. We're going until 1 o'clock today. I'm David Ellis. Join me, and on the producer side, there is Dennis Johnson. Your number is 434-1790, and the email address is brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. We also take your WhatsApp messages at 266-4862. Well, across the world right now, the big talking point is the spread of this coronavirus, also known as COVID-19. And you can see that with over 50 countries or so now having cases of this particular virus, the World Health Organization is warning that it really is on the verge of becoming a pandemic, and that all countries need to take precautions to protect themselves against its rapid spread. Here in Barbados, we had a little bit of a scare with the carnival fascination. And countries like ours are really caught in a dilemma as to how you treat with even your own people when they are diagnosed with this particular disease on board ships. There is little or no doubt, though, that the cruise industry is taking a beating. And there are many, many people who have already booked cruises and are questioning whether they should go on those cruises. They are also looking at the industry's response, because this is an industry that is very hard to give you back the money that you've paid for a cruise. And I know there are a lot of Barbadians who are caught in this situation. I also note the comments which have come from the Democracy and Development Party about the economic situation facing Barbados and the limited elbow room that we have, even though government has celebrated the fact that the debt restructuring process did give us a little bit of latitude. As you've seen from the comments coming from the economics spokesman for that, the party, the PDP, that elbow room is not all that great, and central to all of this will be the ability to get projects going in the country, more projects. Let's take our first caller. Hello?
Yeah.
Bye. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
It's Glenn. How are you, sir?
I'm well, and you?
I'm pretty good. I'm good. I want to deal with some more directly domestic issues this morning. First of all, on Wednesday, I mentioned that there had got some calls from residents in the Green Hill area about a dust problem with some road construction. And I'm pleased to say that I got some calls yesterday, saying that they had remedial action and things were better off for them now. They wanted to thank not me so much, but Brass Tacks and Starcom for giving them the ability to expose the situation, and it triggered a virtual immediate reaction. So, again, the power of Ray, the power of Brass Tacks. I also want to talk about myself, and I also want to join in those who are paying tribute to Smokey Work, but I don't need to do a lot of it publicly because he and I had an ongoing relationship up to about 2 weeks before he became ill again. And we communicated regularly. But I think that I want to really commend Colin Spencer for the way he spoke about him. He spoke about him with the depth and the feeling that that was surely a true intimacy of their relationship. And I'm not surprised at that because very, very few know that Colin is a virtual leader of Dynamo, the Dragon Force. We had a group that keeps in touch with people in the entertainment industry, particularly Calypsonians who are ailing or who are declining years, and visit them, you know, entertain them from time to time. I remember him doing that with Romeo. He also did it. He did it with Smokey regularly too. Whereby a group of them would get together and go and visit and you know, share time, jokes, have some light refreshments, etc. I know they also visit Lord Radio. So, you know, I think this is that kind of effort is to be outside. There's no publicity given to it, really. They just collect themselves, you know, finance it themselves and do it and make the wrong from time to time over the years. I thought he should be commended for that because he doesn't talk about it, but you know he does it, and he's the man who pulls everything together virtually. He's normally himself, and I think Classic and Serenade, they go ahead and make the wrong. So I want to commend him for that. But I also want to talk about, you know, we've been awarding some new honors as part of the gathering and Barbados 2020, Vision 2020. These community honors, these honors are called Pride of Barbados Honors. I am just wondering, I've seen a number of them being awarded in the paper. I'm wondering about if they're ranked in the table of precedence in the national protocol for honors. You know, we have the Knight and Demos and Andrew. We have the Companion of the Honor of Barbados. And then we have the Gold Crown, America, Silver Rank, et cetera. They have their titles. Even the more recent one, the Freedom of Barbados, where people are called the most excellent. But I'm wondering if some of these titles can be used after your name, right? You know, they have a KA, Knight of St. Andrew, KT, et cetera. I'm just wondering if those recipients of these community Pride of Barbados award, would they be able to write POB after their name? Like how you put GCM, go, you know, so, and then in Barbados, if you remember for the millennium, we also had a Barbados Centennial Honor. I've seen people use BCH after it. I'm raised this because it might seem not important to people, but I don't think an honor should be just which the government is involved, so I have to regard that stuff as a national status as just something for a PR opportunity, picture in the paper, and that. I think they should have that, they should carry it for the rest of it. If they made these contributions to the community of such, to merit such an award over many years, etc., I think it should go with them, and they should be able to entitle use it. I don't know what the protocols are. It has not been spelled out. It might be there. But I would like to think that people who have the Pride of Barbados Award can use it after their names and give them the kind of status, prestige, and national appreciation that other people get for the Gold Crown or merit, like say the Barbados Service Star, the Barbados, and those kind of things. I just feel that a similar protocol should be applied to them.
Okay. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hi. Good morning, David. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm okay. I too would want to express sympathy to the family of the late departed Smokey Burt, and I wish them condolences. Additionally, the state of I really, this is perhaps the last time I will speak about this because it's been something that I've done over time, but the PDP's pronouncement yesterday on the state of the economy, as well as their reference to the assault and, well, the gun crime against the visitor, was a little chilling, but it brought into focus the state of affairs regarding gun crime. Every day we have reports of this menace in our community, and while the powers that be, I've heard the Attorney General speak to it at a branch meeting over the weekend, but the type of response that is needed to stem the tide is one that is concerning. And to my mind, while a national focus, a national response is necessary, I'm hoping that the kind of community interventions that we need will draw from, it has to be a ground level response. And while we, you know, as citizens may be retreating in fear, that ought not to be the response. We have to, this is stuff that is happening by our children in our communities, and we have to have a vested interest in redressing it. So I'm appealing to, you know, civic-minded folk to rally around the programming. I don't know who will champion it, who will lead it. There, as I said, there are agencies who are, you know, vested with this particular type of and charged with this type of duty. But I'm saying that we have to respond to it in a real way.
My own view on this is that I've been looking at this since the 80s in particular, and you could see where we were drifting for a long time. But Barbados, I suppose, like so many other societies, we talk about the problem, but if there is any attempt to tackle that problem, then you get a lot of noise from people who say, touch this, but don't touch that. And part of that discussion I hear and have heard before, because as it relates to something like how you're going to deal with the transition from older to from primary school to secondary school, and how are you going to address the fact that so many of our young people are emerging without any sense of direction, any sense of commitment, any sense of self-worth? Because the core of this issue is not about changing 11 plus. Any system that only wants to make a change in how people move from primary to secondary school is nothing but wasting time if we do not look at the more fundamental issues that are supposed to be addressed. And as I understand it, Barbados needs to continue to celebrate people who are really bright and who can take us to the next level and take themselves to the next level. But it really has to spend more time on the people who are average and below average. And that's where the conversation needs to go, not all of this hot air that I hear about 11 plus. And I want to say that I think that if a minister of education comes out and makes a statement about 11 plus being ended, that minister shouldn't really be waiting several days to come back to the public and to expound upon exactly what they have in mind. Because what is happening here is that people are caught up in the whole hype about 11 plus and transitioning from this place to the next. Then they're concerned about zoning. And you know, a whole set of stuff is being thrown into this that at the end of the day is missing the most important point. What can we do to bring more of the people in this country into mainstream? Now, to me, there is a link between that and some of what is playing out on the streets and the guns and the killing. And if they don't have a gun, they will use a cutlass or something like that, because that motivation is still there. People who have grown up in a country and have been told that education is the engine of mobility, they know that if they don't have education, they have no engine. And therefore, people look for other ways to empower themselves, to make it seem as though they are important within the society. There is no greater empowerment for some of them than intimidating the well-educated by making you cower in your home, you know?
Right.
Because this is where they can have their day. This is where they exercise their power. There are others who exercise their power by becoming politicians and doing all that politicians do. You know, that's their way of exercising power and running roughshod over people and that sort of thing. People do that as business people. Senior people in organizations do the same thing. Senior public servants do the same thing. That's how they exercise their power, how they frighten people, how they try to make sure that they beat their chest and say, I'm in charge. All right? So the guy with the gun is doing the same thing, but he's doing it differently.
Yeah, but you know, the challenge is that this guy with the gun in his hand, in light of our circumstances regarding tourism,
right. He hurts people. But the guy in the office is hurting people too.
That too, I agree. But fundamentally, you spoke of you know, the link with the 11 plus in terms of how we transition people from primary to secondary school is important. And I'm bringing more of those who have been challenged, who are challenged regarding their academic progress and ability, bringing more of those into a system that allows them to find purpose and find usefulness in a traditionally education, you know, education being the driver. We understand that type of scenario, we're past that, and we have to, you know, extrapolate from them the kind of abilities that allow them to find their niche and be productive citizens.
Well, so before then, bringing
more of them into the system. The minister, well, you say, you know, she needs to come back. I agree, but the reality is that I've heard through various entities that they're, you know, the whole question of schools of excellence and diverting some of those who may not be academically wired into the technical and vocational areas, that is important. And I think that bringing that system and letting it work effectively is important. And
let me ask you something.
I think we will pass that.
You know, when the Labour Party was last in power and I was sitting on this call-in program, I got away with the Labour Party because I used to make the observation that it spent a lot of time focusing on economics and not on the social dimension of the country. That's how I felt at the time, especially in the latter stages. Barbados is a country where, after the Labour Party went in that direction, the Democratic Labour Party didn't do much better. Perhaps some people tell you it did even less, because it was hamstrung by all the economic difficulties and all of that. But over the years, what we have seen is that people don't go to church much these days. The Anglican Church is under tremendous pressure. I don't know if they're ever really going to come back, because you have two situations here, well, perhaps three. You have the people who don't go to church at all, who can no longer find any solace, any comfort in church. Then you have the growth of the competitors, especially the Pentecostal movement. And we have now seen Islam come into the picture as well. And the grounding that many people used to get from going to church, they don't have it. So what are you going to do? I don't care if you become a doctor, a lawyer, a great carpenter, or a mechanic. At the end of the day, all of us need that sense of direction, that sense of values. And if you don't have that, you're going to have the beating of the chest and the bad behavior that takes place across the board in companies and in organizations in the country. And then on the street, you see it manifesting itself with the people who go through the red lights, throw away everything on the ground, lick up everything that the government makes available to us, because something is missing from us, something that was there before or appeared to be there before. For me, the system needs to address that. How are you going to expose more people to a better appreciation of self and a better appreciation of others? This is right. Not just about transitioning from one school to the next, because Barbados has a major problem when it comes to productivity and the way that we treat each other, even in business. If you come to get a particular job done by me, it is how I treat you. I mean, we are looking only at one narrow aspect of this. As far as we are concerned, two things matter today, because capitalism gone mad. As long as you have money, that is all that matters. As long as you have a piece of paper in your hand as a certificate, that is all that matters. And that is destroying us.
And you know, I agree with all you said, but the core values that perhaps informed an ordered society in the past, and you rightly said that the structures that would have been agents of socialization, really church and you know, community groups and so on, that we moved away from that. The essential elements, therefore, of what constitutes us as upstanding citizens, and I mean the those values that are transgenerational and that speak to, you know, respect for community, respect for person, respect for property, respect for you know, allowing other people to have a place and contribute. We see the erosion of that. Fundamentally, I think there are certain structures that we can build that, okay, everybody's not going to go to church. I get that. Everybody's not going to espouse the same, the teachings of Christ or the teachings of Islam. I understand that. But there are certain core elements that we need to reinforce. And I think the structures that we can perhaps enforce by building strategic partnerships, community groups, people reaching out to each other through non-traditional ways, we have to reinvent our way of doing this, because those values are important. Those values, as I said, are transgenerational, and they have to. We have to find a way of transmitting them to the people who are on the outskirts.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your contribution. It is one thing to say what we need to do. It is another to actually do it. This person is writing from Meadowville in Claremont. And they say that they are having a situation there where the sanitation service is refusing to pick up their garbage because of a line on a pole which is said to be too low. The line is said to belong to Digicel, whom they have contacted. The writer says that this is 2 weeks that the truck hasn't come to that particular part of the gap. And therefore, the refuse is just piling up. The thing is that the other truck driver used to come, and it wasn't a problem. The writer wants to know whether they are supposed to suffer for something that wasn't their fault. And they're being told by the SSA that it is a matter for MTW and Digicel. Now, somewhere inside there, I believe it is also a problem for the Sanitation Service Authority. And, I mean, so it's, there are four entities involved here: MTW, Digicel, SSA, and the people who live in the area who are affected by it. Somebody has got to be able to get some further movement on this. Note, though, this is the isolated case these days of people, somebody complaining about garbage not being picked up. It has gone virtually unnoticed that with the arrival of the garbage trucks, we have had a complete reduction in the complaints that we were having on this program about garbage not being collected. But I hope that something can be done to address this particular concern which has been raised. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
You're sung in good spirit. Now, I want you to glance at Choose This Nation, February 20, 54th page. I am querying what was said, not that I was against anything that the Minister of Education said, but I am dealing because she was not responsible, she was not in office. If you look at page 4, I don't know if you could put it on your computer. Goddard helping retrofit Parkinson building. I'm looking at these buildings that are being condemned. Miss Bradshaw said she came and found at Parkinson. I came to office, again, use the direct statement. I came to office and discovered that it was condemned. And I understand it was really an issue of when they were doing the road work and building the overhead walkway, that a lot of pollution was coming back from the cars, backing up on the highway and creating problems for the environment. As a result of that, a schoolroom that held 16 classes was condemned. Now, this is where I take contention with the people who condemn a building. If you're carrying out construction work, similar to what happened at Green Hill, it would mean then that the people that live at Green Hill, their house would have been condemned. David?
But you know, I would have thought that that would have been a temporary situation.
But I thought so too. Huh? So I am questioning now these people that condemning these buildings. Because this is bare confusion when I look at it. I don't know if people pick up this. How could you, because a building, a road, or overhead, you could condemn a building at a school? And she went on to say that she's going to remove evidence, a word such as uncondemned, she's going to do such. And Goddard Enterprises is helping her to retrofit this building. Now, they just get asked questions about these people and who give them authority to condemn buildings in Barbados. This is a serious thing. If you look at it seriously, how could a building be condemned because of road work?
But the road work has ended a long time ago. The Hamila walkover, as some people call it, has been completed a long time. So, if it was a problem, then this building can be used again, I would hope.
But how can you condemn it? How can you condemn it?
Nothing I believe it was building? Condemned for the period. In other words, condemned in the sense that people weren't supposed to use it for that particular period. But sometimes these things are kind of forgotten. So there's a need now to look at it and see how it can be brought back into service.
But that bring you right back now to the Louisiana school. All of that taxpayers' money up there, condemning you, you don't know what the purpose. People living all around, business all around the building, but the building up there shut down. This is a serious thing. This is taxpayers' money. This is what causing a country having to go through this financial strain when all of these buildings are shut down, like if you're peddling up.
You have to deal with how many people in the country see taxpayers' money. You know, that's at the core of why we have some of these problems. It's felt that, you know, easy go, easy come.
And last but not least, because I have to go, but last but not least, now you just had this is astonishing, though. You just had the 2020 kept in St. Lucie. You had a nurse or matron or whoever she was on the air appealing for help to do repairs because of the condition of the building with the old people staying at that building. Now I've heard you remove the old people and you carry them to Beckles.
Why?
Now how could you ask for money from people for the purpose of helping old people and then remove the very old people?
But you have to
pay your money.
No. But you have to find out if that money was ever forthcoming. You know, one of the biggest challenges in this country?
Mm-hmm.
There are organizations that have money to assist various projects and government departments. They got policemen in Barbados who are sitting down in stations and can't sit properly because the furniture is inadequate. All right?
Yeah.
Our policemen that we and women that we expect to go there and fight on our behalf on a daily basis are working in those conditions in this country today. The Queen Elizabeth Hospital, there are people who are ready and willing to put money behind the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. But anytime you are trying to do any of those projects, I mean, you get so much difficulty. You got to go through this hoop and that hoop and the next one. It is absolute foolishness. People, you know, it is a disincentive to putting money behind projects like those. So it is one thing for you to hear somebody call for the money. But I will bet you, that no matter who turn up to assist with that, they'll take your money out of your hands. But if you say you want to refurbish the department, you want to take on that responsibility, the system that we have right now does not assist you. And as a result, we have government departments that are in dire need of assistance. The government itself does not have the wherewithal to do it. But that can be changed. Do you know how much you see that the more things change, the more they appear to remain the same?
I quite agree with you, David. Now, let me say this. And I can finish and go on. Let me say this. Everything now I look in Barbados, they're telling you about the private sector driven. The private sector is to do this. I always say to you and other people on this radio, how the private sector get the money?
How?
But the only way they could get a private, if you sell a business, you got to make a profit. And you got to make a profit according to how you put your price on your items. So if you go to the supermarket, after the government is waiting these enterprises to help them, and you see a tin of corn be moved from $2 to $6, it is obvious that if the private sector got to give out money, it got to make money. And who do they make the money from? The very consumer that talking. So you know, I am amazed that I went through this.
You miss a very important element in all of this.
Okay.
It is this. There's a price to be paid for the delay and the failure of those who must facilitate. If you tell me that I'm supposed to be in private sector and I'm supposed to create more jobs and that sort of thing, then I need the people who work in the government sector to speed up that process and facilitate it, to make it easier, not harder for me to do my job. But you know, what you don't want to admit, because I know you are a socialist too, and some of you socialists, because all of a sudden socialism is back in vogue in Barbados in a big way. Some of you socialists are hell-bent on stopping private sector growth in this country for different reasons. Some of you grew up hearing the trade union movement curse the private sector night and day. Some of you have a deep belief that no good can come out of Nazareth in that regard. All right. Some of you are afraid of your jobs and your prestige and your position. So you put every obstacle in the way and then you say the private sector can't do it. It can't do it because you won't allow it to do it.
But David, there's a very good argument. Now, when the private sector set about to do a business, where do their employers come from? Out the very same society. And how come the owner of a private company could get a business manager and the government take the same employers and can't get the same business manager? And all the students and all who went to university work comfortably for the private sector, but you can't
because
get...
Because a politician cannot easily go and say, jobs are coming down there, you go down there and see if you can get one. And then pick up the phone and call the manager and essentially intimidate him or her into finding jobs that really there's no space for those people. But you know, and that's what has happened traditionally over the years. Transport board is a fine example of what we've seen with it over time. You know, overstaffed, under-resourced, but we still expect to get buses running. You know?
I agree with you. And let me say this, that unless we as a people understand very clearly that in order to do business, and we talk about spending money, when the private sector spend money, they spend money with the expectation of having growth and their business for them and their family. When the politicians spend money, they spend money for electioneering purposes.
No, they shouldn't. They should be looking for growth. They too should be looking for growth.
They should be looking for growth. No, let.
We gotta have. We need to move on.
Okay, done. Now, give me the opportunity to finish off on this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, take for instance, everybody's here. The National Insurance Building is doing nothing. Pull it down. But you know, it costs money to pull it down. It can cost money to replace it. Where's the productivity in that project?
Come on, man. You know that when you spend money on projects, that is a form of
stimulus.
That is a form of stimulus. You know, it creates jobs for people. It helps money to circulate. That's one of those areas in which the government... Look, I don't know who's in charge at Boarded Hall. I don't know if there's somebody outside of the people at Boarded Hall who could intervene and, you know, help this person. But I don't really want to find that we will have to write a story about somebody being cut up or somebody being shot or somebody being killed. Just because this person says that they have been calling Boarded Hall Police Station for a whole week. The person says, my life is in danger. And up to now, no one has turned up on this matter. And in their judgment, it is a matter of life and death. So, Boarded Hall, do something. Get somebody to go and respond to it. You must be aware of what is in the book that is classified by that person who is calling you as a matter of life and death. Sometimes a failure to respond to these types of situations costs lives. So deal with it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Yes, morning, David.
Yes, morning.
I'm listening with interest keenly in relation to your remarks this morning in relation to the proposed changes to the 11 Plus and what is expected out of them. I want to weigh in on the matter from the angle that we must see why it is important to change. Now, What are we changing to, though?
Are we clear about what we are changing to?
Yes, but I mean, it hasn't been publicly laid clear by the government.
So how could we be having a discussion about that kind of change when we don't know? What are we talking about here?
All right. Let us go at this from another angle. What would you say the greatest resource of a company or a country is?
You know, it's the people who work there.
Good. And if we are satisfied that it is the people, which means the human resource, then we cannot be satisfied with a system that numbers upward of 80% are being regarded as failing.
Well, I don't know 80% is regarded as failing.
But let us go safe and say over 50%. So I'm saying that there's need for change. So we can deal with the details of the change, but we must understand why we must change. Because
I don't understand. Look, my friend.
The problem is that we are sitting down saying, well, don't change.
No, sir, that is not. I do not see this as a logical way of dealing with any problem. Okay. We begin with recognizing that we have a problem. The first thing that we are going to do is to examine the weaknesses of the existing system that contribute to the problem. And then we are going to discuss a solution to that.
Yeah, but sir, that's what we want to get to.
Yeah, because I'm saying to you that up to now we are not there. And that's why I tell you a whole set of people around this place spouting hot air on this issue. Because it is what is missing is any information on exactly what are we going to do. If we say we are going to do zoning, and that is thrown into the pot as well, then you still need more. You need more specifics as to how this is going to be done. So you and I agree, let's agree,
yeah.
You and I agree that we have a problem, that too high a percentage of the people who are going to school are emerging as people who cannot get anything done. They can't create a job for themselves. They cannot function at the level that many employers are demanding.
Well, what we would say about that in relation to the human resource aspect is that they don't have the self-esteem that they ought to have.
But they're not qualified. One of the reasons is that they're not sufficiently qualified. That's what we're saying.
Right, because
and qualified in different ways. Not just certified.
We are failing in areas such as even reading. You follow?